Second reading is Jeremiah's prophecy, chapter 26. Please turn with me there. Jeremiah 26, verse 1. Hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired word of God. In the beginning of the reign of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, came this word from the Lord, saying, Thus saith the Lord, stand in the court of the Lord's house, and speak unto all the cities of Judah, which come to worship in the Lord's house, all the words that I command to thee to speak unto them, diminish not a word. If so be they will hearken, and turn every man from his evil way, that I may repent me of the evil which I purpose to do unto them because of the evil of their doings. And thou shalt say unto them, Thus saith the Lord, If ye will not hearken to me to walk in my law, which I have set before you, to hearken to the words of my servants the prophets, whom I sent unto you, both rising up early and sending them, but ye have not hearkened, then will I make this house like Shiloh, and I will make this city a curse to all the nations of the earth. So the priests and the prophets and all the people heard Jeremiah speaking these words in the house of the Lord. Now it came to pass when Jeremiah had made an end of speaking all that the Lord had commanded him to speak unto all the people, that the priests and the prophets and all the people took him, saying, Thou shalt surely die. Why hast thou prophesied in the name of the Lord, saying, This house shall be like Shiloh, and this city shall be desolate without an inhabitant? And all the people were gathered against Jeremiah in the house of the Lord. When the princes of Judah heard these things, then they came up from the king's house unto the house of the Lord, and sat down in the entry of the new gate of the Lord's house. Then spake the priests and the prophets unto the princes and to all the people, saying, This man is worthy to die, for he hath prophesied against this city, as ye have heard with your ears. Then spake Jeremiah unto all the princes and to all the people, saying, The Lord sent me to prophesy against this house and against this city all the words that ye have heard. Therefore now, amend your ways and your doings, and obey the voice of the Lord your God, and the Lord will repent him of the evil that he hath pronounced against you. As for me, behold, I am in your hand. Do with me as seemeth good and meet unto you. But know ye for certain that if ye put me to death, ye shall surely bring innocent blood upon yourselves, and upon this city, and upon the inhabitants thereof. For of a truth, the Lord hath sent me unto you to speak all these words in your ears. Then said the princes and all the people unto the priests and to the prophets, This man is not worthy to die, for he hath spoken to us in the name of the Lord our God. Then rose up certain of the elders of the land and spake to all the assembly of the people, saying, Micah the Morasite prophesied in the days of Hezekiah, king of Judah, and spake to all the people of Judah, saying, Thus saith the Lord of hosts, Zion shall be plowed like a field, and Jerusalem shall become heaps, and the mountain of the house as the high places of a forest. Did Hezekiah, king of Judah, and all Judah put him at all to death? Did he not fear the Lord and besought the Lord, and the Lord repented him of the evil which he had pronounced against him? Thus might we procure great evil against our souls. And there was also a man that prophesied in the name of the Lord, Urijah, the son of Shemaiah of Kirjath-Jearim, who prophesied against this city and against this land, according to all the words of Jeremiah. And when Jehoiakim, the king, with all his mighty men and all the princes heard his words, the king sought to put him to death. But when Urijah heard it, he was afraid and fled and went into Egypt. And Jehoiakim the king sent men into Egypt, namely Elnathan, the son of Achbor, and certain men with him into Egypt. And they fetched Urijah out of Egypt and brought him unto Jehoiakim the king, who slew him with the sword and cast his dead body into the graves of the common people. Nevertheless, the hand of Ahikam, the son of Shaphan, was with Jeremiah, that they should not give him into the hand of the people to put him to death. May God add His blessing to the reading and hearing of His most holy word. This chapter reminds me of a quip that a modern day minister has made. He said it this way. I think it's an interesting thing to think about. That's why I would say it here, and it is in keeping with our passage. He said, "You know what the problem is with ministers these days is nobody wants to kill them." Well, they certainly wanted to put Jeremiah to death, didn't they? And why did they want to put Jeremiah to death? Well, because he did them the wonderful and gracious favor of speaking to them the truth from God. That's why they wanted to put him to death. The first point that we want to learn here from the passage is that sometimes the truth from the Lord is not a smooth word. It's a very rough word. It's a very hard word. And yet, we must hear it. So the timing of this prophecy is also important, like it was in the last chapter. Do you remember in the last chapter, it was in the fourth year of Jehoiakim. Now we come here and it says, in the beginning of the reign of Jehoiakim. Now this is nondescript. It's hard to say whether or not we're going all the way back to the very beginning or sometime of the beginning. Jehoiakim reigned a little bit longer than 2 decades. I think it was 23 years, maybe 22 years. I haven't studied my kings in a long time. But back when I did that stuff, I think it was sometime around 2 decades that he reigned. So the beginning of his reign could be after the prophecy that we read in the last chapter or before it. But the word beginning is used here, I think, very strategically, because notice that the last chapter had the prophecy happening at the first year of King Nebuchadnezzar, but it was preached to the people of God in Jerusalem at that time. So there's been this shift in this foreign land. Here's what you need to do, Israel. Now, sometime around the beginning of Jehoiakim, and so it is put at the beginning so that Jehoiakim would know how to order his kingdom. The Lord raised up a prophet in the first year or toward the beginning of Jehoiakim's reign so that he might know how to order his kingdom, what was coming, what to expect. So, we have a word that is very similar to what we heard before. But notice also, and thou shalt say to them, and I'm in verse 4, thus saith the Lord, if ye will not hearken unto me, to walk in my law, which I have set before you, to hearken to the words of my servants, the prophets, whom I sent unto you, both rising up early and sending them, but ye have not hearkened, then I will make this house like Shiloh. It's not just that this is a prophecy, it's a contingent prophecy. It's a contingent prophecy. And didn't we learn that when we studied chapter 18, that in some sense, all prophecies are contingent prophecies? That when a prophet, when the Lord sends a prophet and he rises up and he says, I'm going to destroy this place, that if the people of that place repent, the Lord will not destroy it after all. And that if he said, I'm going to bless and encourage this place, if they became fat, happy, and sassy, and they threw off the yoke of the Lord and his law, then they would not be established, but they would be lost as well. So every prophecy, at least in some way or another, is a contingent prophecy. And this one is explicitly contingent, right? He's telling them, he's giving them opportunity to repent. Now, for those of you who aspire to the ministry, we have to understand that sometimes the message that we bring is not going to be popular. We're going to get complaints. People are going to call us up or send us emails during the week and tell us how we've really messed up and how we've been too hard on people or not hard enough on people or maybe both of those in the same week, which does happen from time to time. Brothers and sisters, here's the policy that we have here, and it is a widespread policy. It's not unique to us. If you hear something from the pulpit you think it doesn't comport with the Scripture, you want to talk about it, we're all ears. I'll come over to your house. I'll take you to lunch. I'll even buy your lunch to have you tell me how I messed up. Because that's what I want to hear. Because if I have made a mistake, I want opportunity to repent. And that's how we do that. That's what proper church discipline is, because proper church discipline begins with everyone encouraging one another in the Lord. That's where it begins, including the pastor. So if you hear something, if you have a question, you don't think I had it exactly right, you think I could have emphasized something better, you want to give me some pointers in my preaching. Just the other day, I had someone tell me, "Pastor, I think you ought to speak to the children a little bit more from time to time." So maybe you've heard me doing that over the last couple of weeks. I don't know. I thought that was a great suggestion. Many times that's what you're going to hear from me. If you say, you know, perhaps you could have said it this way. You might hear from me, "You know what, that's a great suggestion. I really appreciate you bringing that." Or if I think it's out of character, it's not what I'm supposed to be doing, I'll explain that to you as well. We want that kind of interaction. What we don't want is, you know, you go home and you have roast pastor. That's not a good thing. It's not good for anybody. Not good for you. Not good for us. Not good for whoever it is that you're that's helped you light the fire. Right? Okay. So that's the first thing. The second thing, however, is notice here that Jeremiah doesn't have an argument for them with regard to his own person. So, "You can do what you want with me. The Lord sent me to preach this. You can do what you want with me. But know this, that if you put me to death, you'll be bringing innocent blood upon your hands." And so notice he is faithful to the end to tell them the truth. That's where we must be as ministers. And that's where we must be as people, in that we want nothing but that. Nothing other than that. We don't want those smooth words that the other prophets were saying, "Peace, peace," when there was no peace. We don't want the kind of smooth words that Zedekiah was looking for. "Surely the Lord will do according to all his mighty works with regard to us." When from the days of Josiah onward, they had heard that Jerusalem will be plowed as a field. So the other thing is, and this is really prevalent today, there was a time before we started here at CCRPC, where I was back in California, I was a licentiate for the ministry in a particular denomination, and they had what they termed were ministerial surveys and questionnaires that they would send out for the ministers, that churches would send out. If a church was looking for a pastor, then they had these questionnaires that they would send out, and some of the questions on those questionnaires were just downright wicked. They'd ask you things like, "How many people have you saved?" "I don't know. How can anybody know that? If you want to answer truthfully, I don't know." The last church that you were at, what was the count of the membership when you started there and when you left there? Did it grow? How would Jeremiah have answered that question? How would Isaiah have answered that question? And so what I'm trying to get at here is, notice that Jeremiah sent. He sent with a message, and the outcome of that message for a perfectly faithful minister is, if I can put it very colloquially, to drive the church into the ground. Sometimes we're looking for something that the Lord has not promised to give. Jeremiah is told to speak the truth and leave the consequences to God. You want pastoral theology 102? 101 is don't spook the sheep. 102, what's pastoral theology 102? Speak the truth. Speak the truth. Now speak it in love, but speak it in love firmly. So Jeremiah is as firm as he can be in telling them the truth. For their part, they say, "We're going to put you to death for telling us the truth." And so they return that evil for good that they had received. All right, so then in verse 12, they give Jeremiah an opportunity to give his defense. Now, that was commendable that they did that. They had already accused him. They had drawn all the princes together. Notice in verse 10 and 11, so the princes and the priests all come together, and they're going to say things about Jeremiah. They're going to make their accusation against Jeremiah. And they're going to pass sentence that, you know, he's worthy to die. And so then Jeremiah gets an opportunity to give his defense. And he gives his defense, and it's an able defense. He says to them, the Lord sent me to tell you this. The Lord sent me to tell you this. And I have been saying the same thing, like we heard the last chapter, for 23 years. The Lord sent me to tell you this. And so when Jeremiah made an end of speaking, he said, now you can do with me what you want. You can kill me if you want, but know that you'll bring innocent blood upon your hands. And when they heard that, then they said, this man's not worthy to die. That the Lord was pleased to make use of very common means, Jeremiah giving a defense, to draw him out of the cords of death. And notice that they had even an historical precedent. Here's Jehoiakim, and Jehoiakim had this other guy, this other prophet, Urijah. And what did Jehoiakim do to Urijah? Well, he searched him out all the way to Egypt, brought him home and killed him. That's the king they're dealing with. But what about Hezekiah? What did he do when Micah the Morsite prophesied? What did he do? Well, they repented. They listened to the voice of the prophet. So we have precedent of not putting a prophet to death, though he speaks words like Jerusalem's going to be plowed as a field. Brothers, sisters, don't we want the truth? That's what they're saying to one another here. We want the truth. And so at the end of the process, we don't hear anybody really convinced one way or the other. We just hear that Jeremiah had an advocate that delivered him out of the hand of the slayer. Notice what it says at the very end. Nevertheless, the hand of Ahikam, the son of Shaphan, was with Jeremiah, that they should not give him into the hand of the people to put him to death. All right. So the Lord then spared Jeremiah that day. There's all kinds of things going on in this passage that are just very much applicable to our day. As we hear about the kind of ministers and what we account as success in the ministry. I mean, the Apostle Paul is going to take this up in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, where he says, you know, our preaching, it's always a favor to God, no matter. Always. Every bit of it. As long as we're preaching the truth in Christ, it's a sweet savor to God. Now, to some, it's a savor of life unto life, and to others, it's a savor of death unto death. I've had someone tell me, I consider to be a brother in the Lord, a strong reformed man. You can't take that passage in 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and say that there's never that there are going to be some ministries without any fruit. Of course you can. That's what it's about. That's what we're being taught here. It's what we're being taught by Jeremiah, that we must, as ministers of the gospel, speak the truth. And if ministers are required to speak the truth, then you're required only to give your ears to the truth. Really important. So, we come to the end of our passage then. Jeremiah is spared, and we're going to move on then in chapter 27 with more prophecy from Jeremiah during the reign of Jehoiakim. All right, with that then, let's stand and call upon the Lord in the singing of psalms.